Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, today is liturgically the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Pentecost is a season when we focus on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and in individuals within the church. So this sermon has a focus on the sanctified life, God working in us for our Christian growth. However, it cannot be forgotten that it is because of Christ's work of redemption that we can even think of growing and maturing spiritually. So let me say this right up front. We preach Christ crucified, died, buried, and raised from the dead as God's means to bring salvation to you, to me, and to the whole world. Without the saving work of Christ and His cross, the message that I've prepared will have no meaning and no power. But because of Christ, God's Holy Spirit is able to help us grow and mature in our faith in God the Father Almighty. Without our God, our Father, Father's Day is just an empty holiday. But today I'd like to use Father's Day as a springboard for understanding who our Heavenly Father is and explore a few of His qualities that we dads should be imitating, even if imperfectly, to the glory of God and to the health of our families. On Father's Day, we try to focus on the good qualities of our dads. The facts are that none of us have perfect dads. Even the best dads have their flaws. So this morning I want to take a look at the perfect Father, your Heavenly Father. My hopes the dads that are here today would want to become more like Him, and that all of us would put our hope and trust in Him. He is the best Father of all. So let's just take five roles that I've found as perfect father in Scripture here. The first thing that comes to my mind is that our Father is our provider. In early times, the man was the provider and the woman was the nurturer. And while culture has changed some things, this is still fundamentally true. The man has the responsibility to provide for his family, and he is the head of the house. If you want to argue that point, take it up with God, and don't blame your husbands if they take this role seriously. Rather, thank them. And dads, let's make sure that we see our responsibility in the light of God's Word. It's rather helpful and keeps us from abusing our role as dad. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, though you are evil," kind of a backhanded compliment there, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" You know, interestingly, there's another variation of this same verse in Luke 11, where the gift of the Holy Spirit is mentioned as the provision. It says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a serpent instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Holy Spirit is the promise of my Father, Jesus said, who would clothe us with power. What a promise of provision. Granted, there are wicked parents that abuse their children and would give a stone when a child asked for bread. But generally speaking, most parents wouldn't think of depriving their children of the basic necessities of life. And they sure wouldn't give them a poor substitute as some sort of a joke to mock them. Earthly dads are sinners and far from perfect, and most of them would provide for their children's needs. So Scripture reminds us, how much more can God give us exactly what we are needing when He delivers us the Holy Spirit? Here's the deal. As fathers, we can lead our families in the ways of eternal life, or we can hinder them. Providing essentials are very important. But how essential is it that your family receives the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God is God's gift through baptism and faith. But that gift is nurtured by our walk and our talk. Are we walking in God's light and reminding our families of God's goodness? In Matthew 6, God promises to provide the things we need if we will first seek His kingdom. We should practice the words of Father Abraham, who said, "The Lord will provide." Like a good father, He may not supply every single want in our life. He may not supply every need the way we think it should be provided. But He will take care of His children because He is the perfect Father. The second important role that needs to be featured, I believe, today is our Heavenly Father is our disciplinarian. Oh boy, this will be a good section. To be a disciplinarian of the family is not a role most of us like, because children need considerable time to understand the purpose of discipline. And during this time of reflection, it can be painful to the one who is meting out the discipline. Michelle Pecoraro tells a story of her dad's attempt to discipline her brother. Here's her story. "After an explosive argument with our mother, my little brother pasted a sign reading, 'I hate Mom,' on the door of his room and slammed it shut. My dad, a school psychologist, came home from this standoff. 'I'll take care of it,' he said, and then went into my brother's room. Minutes later, Dad came out. 'He doesn't hate you anymore,' he assured Mom. Sure enough, my brother had crossed out 'Mom' on his sign, and it now read, 'I hate Dad.'" We tend not to like the word disciplinarian, and perhaps you cringe a little bit because your dad was a staunch disciplinarian. I've heard older folks talk about the woodshed and the switch. If you don't know, ask some older people. I thank my God that we didn't have a woodshed, because I would have spent the bulk of my life in it. But perhaps you do cringe because your dad was abusive or punished you in a way that produces fear even in you today. Or maybe you don't like discipline at all and would just rather not talk about it. So I hope this message clicks for those who felt the terror of discipline. God the Father is our perfect fatherly disciplinarian. A great passage on God disciplining His children is found in Hebrews 12. In this passage, the writer is encouraging his readers not to give up under persecution, but to realize that God is disciplining them. This may seem strange to us, but God uses various things, not just to punish doing wrong, but to prevent wrongdoing. and to educate his children in the way they should walk. He is in the process of training us. Sometimes he uses methods we wish he'd just bypass. We know we'll go through suffering. Jesus told us that. But we need to realize that when God disciplines us, he allows things to come against us in order for us to grow spiritually. Author and pastor John MacArthur explains the meaning of the word discipline. He says, "The word is a broad term signifying whatever parents and teachers do to train, correct, cultivate, and educate children in order to help them develop and mature as they ought." And he continued, "God uses hardship and affliction as a means of discipline, a means of training his children, of helping them mature in their spiritual lives." And here's a passage I think that should just ring in our hearts, because the writer of Hebrews tells us that discipline is a sign of sonship. If we do not undergo God's discipline, we are not his true sons. As we should be glad that our dads kept us in line and taught us right from wrong, even when it was painful, we should rejoice that our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in his administering of discipline, would treat us as sons and daughters, disciplining us so that we might grow in him. For the Christian, discipline, though it may feel like punishment, has as its purpose prevention and education. We see this in Scripture when God gave Paul a thorn in his flesh to prevent him from being proud, not to punish him for his pride. God allowed Job to undergo suffering, not because he was sinful or to prevent him from sin, but rather that he would come to know God in a whole new light. God can use even the most painful situations to teach us things we might have never listened to about him when we were all comfortable. The fact is that the Bible tells us we're going to have trials, and God always uses everything for our good and for his glory. So listen to your Heavenly Father in the midst of your sufferings, because God's ultimate goal is that we would become more like him in his character. The third role, our Heavenly Father is our security. Have you ever heard a little boy say, "My dad can beat up your dad"? Because kids like their dads to be the biggest and the strongest. What's that all about? Isn't it about security? The Father is the protector. He has been throughout history and will be there till Jesus comes. I don't think we're diminishing the role of mothers, who sometimes are referred to as mama bears because of their ferocious protection of their children. But dads should be looked to as the family's protector. And dads should see themselves as ones who protect. As the perfect Father, God our protector. Luther picked up this theme in his famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." God is a safe haven to run to when you feel insecure and afraid. We should find security in the fact that nothing happens to us that doesn't first pass through his hands. And what passes through his hands is meant by God for our good, not our destruction. Job would not have been afflicted without God giving the devil permission. And it's also good to note that God does at times pull us out of the trial, as he did Peter in Acts 12. It is right to pray for protection. Even Paul asked for prayer for his rescue from the unbelievers in Romans 15. God still offers physical protection and shielding in our lives. And we're not shy about asking and praying for protection for our military when they face hostile forces intent on doing harm to our citizens. And we would do well to ask God's protection from the enemy and evildoers. But then we trust Him when He allows us to go through the storm rather than pulling us out. Something else we should take careful note of. While we are mortal and limited to the security we offer our families, God offers protection that no human father can give. The protection of our souls. Even during a time of suffering for Paul, he was able to write to Timothy and say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." At the end of Jude's letter, he writes, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy." Paul, Timothy, Jude were all confident that God offered protection that would see them and every believer through to the day when God would, when they would be presented before God's presence. The fourth role is our Father is personal. You know why God hates idolatry, don't you? That is, giving our worship, as Luther would say, our fear, love, and trust, giving that to inanimate objects. God is not a block of wood or a chiseled stone. He's a person and capable and desiring to have a relationship with us. He wants us to know Him. Unlike the impersonal idols of the nations in Israel's day, God was very personal. And there are still many in the world that bow down to idols, but idols offer no relationship, and their cold eyes show no care. But we know a God through Christ who says that even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now that's personal, especially when it changes so frequently. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16 give us a picture of God involved in the formation of our lives and who knows all of our days before any of them come to pass. Jeremiah 1:5 gives light to the fact that God knows us and His plans for us before we were even conceived. He knew. God is personal. When we pray according to Jesus' example of prayer, we call Him our Father. He knows everything about your life, whether you want Him to or not. And if you give Him the opportunity, He knows how to untangle the messes, fix your brokenness, and get you back into good working order. He's not a God who cannot speak, but rather He is a God who speaks and delights in giving us guidance. The fifth and final role is our Heavenly Father is ever present. Not only is it good to know that God is personal, but it's good to know that He's present. In a world where so many fathers are characterized as absentee dads, it's good to know that our Heavenly Father is always there. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses asked the people, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him?" In Hebrews 4, we're invited to approach the throne of grace with confidence. In Hebrews 13, quoting Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." It is good to know that unlike so many absentee dads, God will never walk out on us. God is our refuge and strength, it says in Psalm 46, our ever-present help in time of trouble. And while adversity may come, it will come, how great is it to know that all of the problems we go through will never be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, Romans 8. You know, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of who our Heavenly Father is. But we know that He is our perfect Father. He's the Father we've always wanted. The great thing is that He is the Father who is always available to each one of us. And He gladly adopts us into His family. Dads, you know what a challenge it is to be the provider for your families, to be their protector from the assaults of the world. You know how difficult it is to mete out discipline that your children need, training them to be godly kids, and to be personally available to them, involved in the details of their life, and fighting against your own absenteeism. They need you there. And God knows that. Did you notice that Jesus' words are implanted with a word of encouragement to pray? Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. We need dads to be imitators of God. It doesn't just happen. It comes by asking us to make us more like Him. We will never be God, but we can grow in His character. And since your kids want to be just like you, how important is it to seek the Holy Spirit who will show us how to be just like our Heavenly Father? Boy, there's something we can pray about, isn't it? And when you fail to be the provider, the protector, the disciplinarian who is personally involved and present at your with your family's needs, please don't forget where we started this message. Don't forget the cross. The cross is the means by which God forgives us and He restores us to our needed role in the family. One thing I am absolutely sure of, God will grant His Holy Spirit to anyone who asks, and He will help us grow in our fatherly roles. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's end it. Please stand with me as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.